Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, our state, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's the home of Free Fire Media. It's the home of Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:06, Monday morning, September 20th, and it's going to be a good day, I think. Our phone line's here, 530-605-4567. Well, it's always a good day in here. I'm not sure outside. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com, so if you got those little iPhones or phones, those magic phones that supposedly work everywhere as long as you have cell coverage, then you're okay. Also, you can chat with us. Just go to KCNR1460.com and light it up and start talking to us, or just call us, 605-4567. Joined today, he's back, Bad Bob.
And good morning.
Bad Bob, where were you for a whole week?
Charleston, Oregon, which is in the what Oregonians call their Bay Area, Coos Bay, North Bend area. Charming little fishing village, and we had an incredibly great time.
Never called once.
When did you get back?
We got back late Friday, and because Brenda had to go back to work Saturday.
Okay.
He didn't call us, Linda. We didn't get a postcard.
We didn't
get a postcard. We didn't get an email.
I didn't even bring you any fish.
Didn't even bring us. Well, that's probably because you didn't catch any.
Au contraire.
Au contraire. But speaking of au contraire, who does it her own way? Here's Linda.
Well, good morning. We've had an incredible weekend. And if you're looking at for the forecast, it's currently 58 degrees. There's going to be a calm wind today, and it will be high of 81. The forecast says sunny. We had a wonderful weekend. We did not get to the beer and wine festival, I'm sorry to say. However,
by the way, she'd probably still be there.
But I just want to thank you, Carl, for a wonderful chick weekend.
Uh-oh. I tried to keep that under wraps.
No, you did. You were very good in... well, first of all, we had sushi with friends Saturday night. That was great to catch up. Sometimes you just have to, you know, clear your schedule and do a one-on-one, and it's been months. So we felt we really needed to, that's the only time we could do it. So then Sunday...
Bob had sushi.
I wanted to...
He calls it bait.
I wanted to see a movie. I waited till I read the book. And I was really surprised that Carl would go with me. We saw Eat, Pray, Love.
That is, you know what, that is such a sexist remark. You know, I'm tired of being treated like a male piece of
meat
here.
Well, it's a chick movie, and it is.
Yeah, but didn't you go to see The Expendables with me, with people getting their heads blown off?
Yeah, but I like stuff like that.
Oh, okay, that's true.
We don't always go. In fact, a lot of times, I don't know. Ladies, if you're listening, how many times do you really think about if you're going to a movie with your man, do you actually kind of curve over to what you think he's going to like? You know, so it was really nice for Carl to say, okay, you know what, we'll see whatever you want to see, which I thought was really great. And we went to see Eat, Pray, Love, and then we went to Costco and held hands.
Yes, we had to hold hands because he kept slapping my hand every time I got near one of the little grazing stands. You know what? Here's the thing. You go to Costco to buy. No, we go to Costco. We had to buy something that we couldn't find in other places.
Yes, of course. No, it was a local.
No, it was just we couldn't find it there. So we go in there, and they have these grazing stations. I like to call them grazing stations. That's where you go from spot to spot in Costco. And you can eat for, 2-3 hours. It's like this huge buffet of different stuff. Now, you got to like different stuff. You got to like that little orangey drink they give you. And then you eat this little crunchy things. But then in between they have like little sandwiches and they have soups. And this little kid, his mom was saying to him, look, you just keep getting things from these people. You just keep eating. And I went over to him, ma'am, let's get this straight. He's a male. He's grazing. He's learning how to do. He eats. He has to keep his strength up for his hunting so he can protect you gatherers. She quickly grabbed her child and ran off.
Backing up to Friday night, we had a tremendous night out at Anselmo, and we will be posting this week the series of the music that will be up there up until through December. So you'll be stay tuned and be into listening, tuning into, excuse me, 1460.com, KCNR1460.com. Like we said, we're taking your emails this morning. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to an organization called Citizens for Democracy. They're out in the lobby, and we have invited
I don't get
them.
I don't get a feeling that they're associated with the Tea Party.
No.
Okay. This is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Okay, let me try it again. Hey, this is Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460 on your dial. Hey, it's Monday morning. Can't you? I mean, I'm already feeling in the groove.
Hey, it's September 20th. It's going to be a great day today.
Maybe we relaxed over the weekend. I'm not sure. Maybe we just had that much-needed sleep. Yeah. We've been so deprived. But it feels good to be here. It's going to be high today of 81. Currently, 58 degrees, and welcome to the show.
But you know, this weekend, it's always, since we've expanded out into Sundays, we've got, you know, you started off with Ernie and Dave. How can you not like those two guys? And then you have, Kurt Large. And, you know, the thing about Kurt and Ruth get into it, start arguing. You know, it's not something that Ruth will hear Kurt say something and just let him get away with it, if it concerns anything to do with real estate and other things. And Alana Burke, Dr. Pratt, Nancy Sutton Pierce, Psych Talk, then you got Marketing Your Business, Boomer Tech, which we're still not too sure since Bob's in charge of that. And then on Sundays with Doug Craig and Donnie Greenberg and Around the House and now Bridal Talk and then Genesis Generation. We've expanded out so much that on the weekends is that we can kind of, we sit back and we can listen to them. And enjoy that.
Well, our guests in the studio right now are, we've got Rob McDonald and Christine Mitchell, who are with an organization called Shasta County Citizens for Democracy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And how should we start off? Who are you, and why did you want to come on the show today?
Well, we're a general purpose recipient committee. That's a California organization. It's actually the same thing as a political action committee, but we're state rather than federal. And we wanted to come on the show to tell you we are organizing with private citizens to hold a rally and march in support of public safety officers on October 5th at 4 p.m. We'll be at City Hall. So we'd like everybody who supports public safety to come on down.
Okay, that's right. We have in front of us a flyer saying, faced with unprecedented cuts in both police and fire services, as well as city council that refuses to bargain in good faith, a coalition of concerned citizens is holding a rally on October 5th, beginning at 4 p.m. That's great. You guys have got this, march planned. What do you do before the march? Do you have meetings where people can find out, more about who you are what's your stance on the fact that, what are you trying to create here besides a march?
Well, I'll be speaking for one, but we will have some speakers talking about priorities is what it comes down to. The priorities right now seem to be geared towards cut everything, cut and slash, and we're going to end up with not as good of a community as a result of it. And, it looks like things are starting to recover a little bit. We're starting to get some good numbers, and we need to not panic. There is a reserve at the city that they've chosen not to even dip into. And I believe that reserves are for situations like the economy we've had over the last 2 years.
Isn't that reserved down to it's like it's nub that if something happens that everybody that's looked at it says that they've taken it down as far as they can?
As I understand it, they haven't really dipped into that.
They're
a whole lot.
They're down to
yet.
$5 million, and I know which seems like a lot, but to keep the bond issues and to keep our keep ourselves solvent, that, like I said, even everybody that has looked at this from both sides, it appears, that do not want to get down past that on that reserve.
Well, yeah. I think the issue is, it seems as though the city council doesn't worry about the public safety. We feel that the public safety is the most important service the city can provide. And there seem to be, I would think they can look at other agencies and cut, maybe even close down other agencies, you know. And their attitude has a lot to do with it. I know police and fire think that they know they have to negotiate, but it's just impossible for them to negotiate with this city council.
Do you think that the police and fire should pay their CalPERS?
You know,
at 9%.
I don't know. They're paying, they've given an awful lot already. They're paying a lot into their health care. You know, maybe, but...
How much are they paying into their health care?
That I can't tell you. I think
it looks like is that... I mean, what about the people that support the police and fire, yet think there has to be changes? There hasn't been one city council person that's running that's been on our show, even Spears and Sullivan and Murray, that say there's got to be changes. We can no longer go like this because of the cost of it.
We agree with that, but I think the point is negotiate. Don't just say, you know, like the police, I think it was in July, offered $330,000. Instead of negotiating, the city just said, no, we're going to do it our way.
They said they'd take that. The city said that I was.
If left. They would, but they wanted, they wouldn't extend the contract for a year because they seem to think they can't negotiate until the contract is over, and that's not true, from what I understand.
Well, I just want to say our chat room is open. We were having some complications, but if you have a question for Rob McDonald and or our Citizens for Democracy guest Christine Mitchell. We're smack in the middle of a feeling that some of our guests have about the what's happening with the support of the firefighters and police officers and the cuts. So weigh on in here at KCNR 1460, and we can discuss it. And that's what we're all about here on KCNR.
You know, the thing is that have we taken a look through the whole city for cuts? That's the thing. And if we have, then what has to be done then? The fact is that there's a march in support of the, you know, I think everybody supports the police and fire. How can you not? And when you look into it, what the government says is the, you know, what should government take care of? We should take care of public safety, our borders, and maybe infrastructure. And then everything else we've gotten into now is kind of like additional.
Well,
anyway,
we do have.
But that's just my feeling. I mean that is just like we're so happy to have y'all here. I think this is the first time y'all have been here.
I know. Yes,
I don't want you to feel welcome. Honest. I know I'm asking questions,
well,
but
yeah.
These are questions. But see,
so
you're bringing up a new point here from the citizen side, and that's a lot of people have questions about that. Well, why this or why that?
Well, and I feel like, you know, there's a lot of people that talk like the public safety officers don't deserve what they get. I hear that a lot, and I read the blogs on the Record Searchlight, and, you know, these are hard-working people. And I talked to the wife of a fireman yesterday. He makes about $22 an hour if you figure his wages. Well, that's not a lot of money for a family.
Does that include overtime? Does that include his health and all those things?
No, we're talking about salary, but, you know, you've got to have the money to live on. The health and pension and everything, that doesn't come in now.
Okay, look, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, our guests are Chris McDonald and...
Christine Mitchell.
I'm sorry, Christine Mitchell. I'll get
well,
this.
We have blogs
Rob McDonald
coming in.
And Christine Mitchell.
We've got blogs coming in. Somebody's on the call. Hold on to the other side. This is Carla Lindabot. We are with Citizens for Democracy right now. Calls are coming in. Hold on. We'll be back right after these messages.
Yeah, welcome to Home of Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:26 in the morning. We got like 4 minutes left in this segment.
Well, let's go to the phones.
Line one.
Hey.
Al, you're on the
phone. Welcome.
You are... Hey, this is Citizen Activist.
Oh, okay.
Glad to say it this morning. How are y'all?
Well, how you doing there, Citizen Activist?
I'm good. I've been having a spirited debate with Christine. She didn't have quite all her facts together. In the debate, she said that the council was trying to take away all the benefits for the safety. She keeps talking safety. Let's just talk about what it really is. She should be called Citizens of Shasta Law Enforcement Union supporters, okay? Because that's what she's really doing. You know, God bless her. She has a lot of good activists coming to me. I went to a meeting a couple Sundays ago. Some of the most concerned activists in the community were at the meeting. I was very impressed. But this direction that this group is taking is un-American, in my opinion, okay? Basically, they talk about safety instead of just saying what it is. Law enforcement is who they... Law enforcement in this community for 40 years has had a birthday cake every time a budget come up. They got whatever they wanted. It took us 20 years to build a decent library. Human services suffered. Even the fire department that she keeps throwing out there, because you don't want to really talk about who's... The fire people still are behind the other safety. You know, every agency in this state has been armed, locked, and loaded to the hilt by the federal government to fight local terrorists, and I'm starting to wonder who they think those local terrorists are, if you know what I mean, okay?
Okay, okay,
well,
citizen activist.
You know, and...
Okay, let's give Christine... Christine?
Yeah. Well, Al, I told you I misspoke when I said they were taking benefits away. Al's been writing on my Facebook.
He's engaged.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
We also support the firefighters, definitely, and also the Reading Electric Union. I mean, in my mind, those guys are safety workers, too.
Are you going to support the Reading Electric Union when the management joins?
You know, if you look on our brochure, one thing we stand for are unions, period.
Unions, period.
Unions, period.
Unions, right or wrong?
That's, well, you know, sometimes they're wrong, but so are corporations,
yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But not.
Go ahead. Well, let's get into the purpose here.
I would just like to say that I think our city employees do an excellent job overall for us, and we have a very nice city. And
we,
for them
you know
to
what, we agree with this.
Yeah, and yeah. For them to make the salaries they're making, looking at the upper management, I feel it's inflated a little, but not blown out of proportion like some people think. But the as far as our police, our firefighters, you know, the people in the trenches that actually are out there on a daily basis doing, you know, keeping our city flowing. They're right in line with where they should be for the salaries they're making.
I have a request for the two of you. And I think that when we do our show at Tobacco and Brew, we need to have you and we need to have people who think on the other side. And we'll have this wonderful debate where people can ask questions and it's an open forum. What do you think?
Sure.
I guess so.
Okay, now when do you have your meetings?
We have the meetings the first Saturday of every month. 3:00 in the Reading Library Foundation Room.
Okay, and this is for Tuesday, October 5th, beginning at 4 p.m., a march.
Yes.
Okay, you can call us again before that. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio. We got to take a break. The home of Free Fire Media.
Listening to Carl and Linda Bot here on the Free Fire Radio program. It's going to be high today of 81, currently 58 degrees. Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. And, you know, you might want to check out our website, which is KCNR1460. See the new music series that is coming up. And also this part of the program is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. We just mentioned the fact that we're probably going to be doing go back and start doing our lunches where we broadcast from, you know, whether we decide that we're going to go stream or not. We it's a really nice lunch to get away and do some politically active programs where you can engage and ask questions such as the people that were just here, Democracy Now! So in the station right now, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk about Make-A-Wish and a golf tournament that's coming up. So we would like to, let's introduce yourself, Scott.
Hi, I'm Scott Brown. I'm a financial advisor with Edward Jones here in Reading.
And?
Hi, I'm Chelsea Boot. I'm actually a Make-A-Wish kid.
Super.
She's a survivor. And this is Barbara Harrison with the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Well, Barbara, I first became involved with Make-A-Wish through you and Carol Skill. And that was at the Cascade Theater, and it's such a wonderful organization, and how it touched my heart. I'm sure so many people globally it has.
You did such an awesome fundraiser that night. You were spectacular. Well, everybody loved it. It was great.
It was my honor, and we know that we were able to fulfill a wish of one of the kids.
Correct.
So what is happening? Let's talk about why we're here today.
Well, about a few years ago, it was a brainchild of mine to get a charity golf tournament event started. And finally, this year, it all came to fruition, and I wanted to help out Make-A-Wish and use our community presence, as far as Edward Jones is concerned, to put that together and make people aware that we are doing something fun and benefiting Make-A-Wish. So that's how it all came together.
Oh, okay, so we have the golf tournament. When do we circle our calendar?
Well, actually, it's coming up pretty quick. It's this Friday, the 24th.
Okay.
It's at Tierra Oaks.
Okay.
It starts at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Everyone is invited, and not just people associated with Edward Jones, but everyone here in town. Or if you like golf or you want to support Make-A-Wish, we invite you out.
If you can pick up the club, just be there.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about, for those people who might not be able to be there on the 24th, but they want to make a donation, they want to know more about Make-A-Wish, is there a website? Can they come and where can they drop off money? Where can they give a donation?
They can do that. They can do it to Terry Oaks. They can drop off a donation and just write a memo on the check that is for the Edward Jones Golf Tournament. So we are collecting donations as well if you don't want to golf.
There's a lot of local offices of Edward Jones around town, so if you can't make it out to Tierra Oaks and don't want to go that far, it's not convenient for you.
So if
you can go to Edward Jones and drop off a donation.
So if you're just tuning in, it's the Edward Jones Golf Tournament for Make-A-Wish.
Correct.
Now, we were talking about the fact that you, give us your full name again.
Chelsea Abood.
Chelsea, thank you for being here this morning.
No problem.
And you're saying that you're a Make-A-Wish kid. Could you share a little bit about your story?
Yes, I have cystic fibrosis, and also I have liver problems and diabetes. I got my wish granted this last January. I actually got to go to the Grammys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that wild?
That is just... Yeah, it was a great time. Make-A-Wish pretty much fulfilled all... of, like, everything. Like, I had the best time.
Who'd you get to meet?
I got to meet, like, Keith Urban, Nicole Kidman, the Black Eyed Peas, just so many people. I got, like, probably 30 or 40 autographs from just being, we got to sit on the red carpet, actually, and see all the stars walk by. And we got to sit in at the show and watch everything. We actually got to go to rehearsals before the show actually started. It was just an awesome time.
Well, see, this is the beautiful thing of what Make-A-Wish does, is being able to take some. Now, as for our listeners, you are this beautiful young lady, and I'm sure with your condition that it comes and goes, and sometimes you can't just get out there and make it work, and then there's days that you're just like here, like vibrant and beautiful and very alive and, you know, just wonderful testimony for you to share with others about what Make-A-Wish has done for you.
Yeah, Make-A-Wish definitely gives you a couple days to forget about your disease. I even have younger friends that have had their wish fulfilled. And it just gives you a couple days. You forget about everything. You get to have the time of your life. It's just so much fun.
Wow.
I sit here with tears in my eyes.
Yeah, you know, this is something, of course, that we'd like to support, which we support our community, but, you know, in something like this, we see this happen, that we, if we get, if our friends are out there listening, how much does it cost to play golf?
No, it's $99 per person, and if you have a foursome, great. If not, mm-hmm. come as a single. We can pair you out with someone. So that includes golf, lunch afterwards. You get a sleeve of golf balls, a drink ticket to begin with. It's just the weather's going to be perfect, which is a great day to spend out with your friends and support a great cause here locally.
Yeah, you know what, what you've done, and you know, Chelsea, you look happy. You know, when you were talking about it. Now, and I don't blame you. I mean,
look at the sparkle there in her eyes.
That's a
absolutely.
Big night, Grammy night. Oh, well. So,
hey, it could take $6,000 to fulfill a wish.
How much?
Six.
Okay.
So that's what the boys at Edward Jones are trying to fulfill this Friday. So come on, come all, because we really need the support and the help.
Yeah, so 60 golfers or people that just want to donate.
Do the math.
And we just, two. We want two spots on the
You're
golf
two,
team.
Okay, very
right.
good.
We can't make it, but for somebody who can stand
We can't
before.
Be there, but we will pay for somebody to go play golf.
Oh, the phone
people.
Should be ringing yeah. now.
Right.
Yeah, in fact, the first people that call in, add-ons, you know, that play golf, that want free tickets to the for the Make-A-Wish, we're paying, but you got to play.
Show up.
We'll pay for your tickets there. So,
yeah.
And if that doesn't work because people are going golf, this early in the morning. So, if not, else we'll just give you a check
Great.
Here. Anyway, we've got to take a quick break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
You're
Where is a moment I treasure?
Good morning and welcome to this lovely Monday morning here on KCNR. I'll tell you what, music just fills up your soul and so do good deeds and so do just what it is to outreach your hands and open your heart and that's exactly what happens with Make-A-Wish when you can fulfill somebody in need when they're going through a time in their life and they have a wish. And with us this morning is a recipient from Make-A-Wish who got to go to the Grammys.
Yes.
Carl, you had the microphone up to your... What do you want to...
Still do a commercial.
Oh, okay, Barbara.
Well, you can still do it if you choose.
Okay.
We'll let you.
Okay. So, Barbara, we were talking about places of where we can drop off money and more about the golf tournament.
Right. You know, this Friday, 9 o'clock, it's a shotgun start, so scramble format, so you know, you don't have to be a good golfer to enjoy your day. Get three of your buddies and come out there and have a great time and support Make-A-Wish. So we're looking forward to it. It's at Tierra Oaks.
Okay, Tierra Oaks. But we also want to encourage, if you can't get out to Tierra Oaks and you'd like to donate whatever you can, you know, to help a child have a wish. And, Barbara, you said it was $6,000.
Per wish, yes.
Per wish.
That's what it costs us to fulfill the wish.
And I think that you probably, hopefully, gather enough money in this fundraiser that you can fulfill a few wishes.
Well, that's our hope, and this is our first year doing it, so it definitely...
we want to make it an annual.
Exactly. We want to make this thing an ongoing benefit to the community, so hopefully we can get a lot of support from everyone here locally and make that happen.
You know, if you don't golf and you want to come out and watch and make a donation, it might be worth a lot of laughs watching some of these people not do so well. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And so the day starts off with a golf tournament and a luncheon.
Lunch afterwards, and we have a few donations that we've had some people give us that we're going to raffle off as well. So.
And Chelsea, you had some final thoughts, some closing thoughts here for this portion of the show.
Yes, I'm actually going to be at the golf tournament. As well, I'm going to be working with one of the golf pros and trying to get you guys to maybe have him shoot for you at one of the holes and maybe get your score a little bit better.
It's going to cost you for a challenge.
Yep.
Well, that's great, you guys. We're really excited about out at Tierra Oaks. It's the Make-A-Wish Golf Tournament put on by the folks at Edward Jones. Scott, thank you. Chelsea, mm-hmm. Barbara. Oh. And this portion of the show has been brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Don't forget about going in to Espresso Joe's, where you can get some of the best coffee you'll ever get in the North State, plus the walk-in humidor. Shelley and Joe Levy, wonderful Americans, and always helping the community as well. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to the show. This is Linda and Carl Fox. Love it. Just a little of that go. KCNR 1460. We were just talking about him the other day. Oh, yeah. Going to be high today of 81, currently 58 degrees. Oh, I'll tell you what, it sure is really neat when you get these people on that you see, you know, really they have a shift for something in their lives where it's something really positive. It's just makes my heart full.
I like watching the, well, that's true, absolutely. And what a beautiful young woman. And she said for a couple of days it lets her forget her, what she has gone through with cystic fibrosis and the other, and I think she said it was liver and all that. But it was, she is a very articulate young woman who talks about what this means to her. Okay, now our guest in the next hour will be Brad LaCroix, who is the spokesman for the Reading Police Officers Association. In fact, we've already started off this morning with that. You need to turn me down here. I'm blowing out my ears. Sorry about that, my friends. You know, Bob, after 10 months, still does not understand my my hand and arm signals, which, you know, any Marine 16 and above right away understands them. But then again, Bob and I haven't trained out in the woods together. What do you think about people that lose elections and then sour grapes and they say, well, you know what, I'm going to spoil it for the other person? You remember Specter and Ross Perot and all those. And then here it is. Our latest is Alaska Senator Murkowski is going to write to mount a write-in campaign, stunned by a loss to a Tea Party backed insurgent in last month's Republican primary. She announced she is mounting a write-in campaign to keep her seat. Of course, the Democrats are jumping up and down, screaming, yelling, and saying, yes, yes. She was considered the overwhelming favorite in pre-primary polls. She then lost to Fairbanks attorney Joe Miller. Miller was backed by the Republican vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin and by the Tea Party Express. They are, anyway, but what happens is that Murkowski says, without the Tea Party, without Palin, she would have won. Hey, Lisa, you lost. You lost. So, but that's not good enough, is it? Oh, you can't, you know, your family's been in politics for a decade. I believe Palin took the governorship away from your father. So it's not enough, is it? It's not enough just to say, hey, look, you know what? Ran a good campaign. He ran a good campaign. I lost. So instead, Lisa is going to make sure that the Democrat holds it. So she's going once she wants to split the party that way. And you know what? And with something like that, I imagine that the Democrats are like, you know, starting to salivate, thinking about what could happen in November. With Tea Party candidates taking out the, when I say Tea Party candidates, I should say conservatives that are taking on moderates in the Republican Party, and they've won two or three of those, maybe four. And you see people like Charles Krauthammer, which I respect his intellect, but him saying is that, oh, it's a loss. You know, you should be voting for the one who's the most conservative that can win. Well, yeah, I see what he's saying, but what about this? What about the fact is that the establishment has not listened to the voters for a long, long time? And because they have not listened to the voters are finally saying, that's it. That's enough. And where I can change it, I'm going to change it. And I'm going to change it, and you may not like it, but guess what? You work for me. And, you know, and it's not just enough to say, oh, we've got to change. We've got to do this. We've got to do, you know, unless there's a plan at the end of it. Oh, if we change, we voted for change 2 years ago. And so far, how's that working? Mr. Obama's polls have dropped so dramatically, so quickly, over the decisions he's made. Things that he has said that I find just really ludicrous. Asking veterans to pay for their own insurance for wounds suffered in combat. I mean, that you have to admit that's a little bit scary. You know, he backed off on that one, and which shows the fact that people got to him and said, you know, you might want to rethink this one. What's going on at the border? The fact that the Justice Department is going after Arizona instead of the people that are here illegally. The fact that people are, you know, saying, hey, look, we're not going to rent to illegals. My city is not going to rent to illegals. It's not going to hire illegals. And to find some judge that says that's unconstitutional. To find judges, you know, one person that will say, I completely negate an 8 million person vote. Sorry. That's just unconstitutional to me. A man that says, don't ask, don't tell is unconstitutional. I'd like to know who that judge is. One, did he ever serve in the military? Or did he even ask anybody? Or does he even care? Because, no, it's more important that he have his time in the spotlight. You know, Obama wants to change, don't ask, don't tell. But at least what he has said, even though he's acted somewhat strangely about it, is I'm going to let the services figure this thing out. And it may change, but it may take years, but I want the services to come back and tell me what they think. Well, you've already had one commandant of the Marine Corps tell him what he thought. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not what we wanted to hear. Maybe you better rephrase that. Well, of course, it's not what they wanted to hear. Now, a lot of times, you're going to hear things you don't want to hear that's the truth, unfortunately. It's the people that are at the top that have to make those final decisions. You know, the other thing, too, that we heard, Linda and I heard Obama back in what, it was 2000 and, was it 2006 at the Democratic Convention?
Right.
When he talked about the only America was American. There were no hyphenated Americans, there were just Americans when he talked like that. And when he spoke at that convention, we both looked and said, whoa, you know, this guy is...
The guy's a star.
The guy's a star. That's what we thought. But then he came in, and the things he talked about, the things he was standing up for, seems to have changed. You know, he's gone to the black voter specifically. I need everybody here to go back to your neighborhoods and your workplaces, your churches, your barbershops. Tell them we have work here. Tell them that we don't want to go back to the way it was. If he's hitting all different groups with that message, that's fine. But to as long as there isn't a racial part of this, you know, the one thing that anybody that says anything about President Obama, somewhere along in there, the racial tag will be thrown up. Somewhere in there, you know, if you're a member of conservative groups or conservative media or just anybody in our own blogs here on theredding.com, if you say something about President Obama, somehow, somewhere in there, somebody's going to say that you're a racist. Not the fact you don't agree with him on his health care plan, not the fact that you don't agree with him what he's doing in Afghanistan, which more and more people are starting to question, not that you don't agree with him on taking GM over, not that you don't agree with him with this continued spending that the banks get, not that you don't agree with him on the fact that Social Security is getting ready to go, bankrupt unless big changes are made. You know, anything that you disagree with President Obama on, why can't you just disagree with him on the fact that he's making decisions that you don't agree with? It's got nothing to do with his color. It's got nothing to do with his background. It's the fact that he's making decisions that I and many other people don't agree with.
Well, quickly, before we take a break, remember somebody was teasing you the other night and said, I'll just be happy one day when Carl votes for a Democrat. And you stood right up and said, I don't vote for a party. I vote for the man.
That's right.
The person.
That's
and
right.
Then you
and
said,
I don't care
correct
what they are.
Me, or the person.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't care. If it's a person that loves this country and wants the best for this country, that's going to happen.
Right.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break
and
here.
And coming up...
Hey, is Brad LaCroix.
I'll tell you right now, the chat room is on fire.
The spokesman for the Redding Police Officers Association will be here. So join us after the news. It's Carl and Linda Bob, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:05, September 20th. September's getting away from us, too.
Unbelievable.
Phone lines here, 530-605-4567. Put it on your speed dial. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Chat room is on fire.
In the chat room, just jump on in here because we're sure that there's going to be some questions.
It's currently 58 degrees. It's going to be high today of 81. This portion of the show is brought to you by
B&T Satellites. Right off Airport Road, Doug Tooley, the owner of B&T Satellites, has been in the business since 1985, except time out when he was with the 82nd Airborne. 244-1988 is his phone number, and on Mondays he will replace that beat-up remote that you may have. That man, you know, sometimes because we throw it, there goes, you know, Brett Favre throws a football straight up in the air, comes down in the other player's hands, the opposite team, so you throw your remote to help him. He will replace that today if you go out there. That's B&T Satellite right off Airport Road, 244-1988. Our guest today for this segment, Brad LaCroix, who is the president of the Reading Police Officers Association. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning.
And board member of the Reading Police Officers Association, Jacob Provincio.
Good morning.
This is wonderful. Thank you for being here today, being guests on the show.
Well, thank you.
We're going to cover a lot of ground. We're also going to take your calls. If you've got calls, if you like having something you just don't want to put down and you want to engage, call 605-4567. That is our hotline.
Okay. Political time of the year. A lot of things going on. Police Officers Association is disagreeing with members of the city council. Brad.
Well, you're absolutely right. Some of the decisions that our current council majority has made has prompted us to want to see how we can get involved and help change the direction the city's going. One of the examples I've been asked frequently was, about six weeks, 2 months ago, we made a presentation to council where the two police associations were gifting back $330,000 to the city to help with the cost and to hopefully avoid layoffs, and then to have 6 weeks later they state that there's a need to reduce the reserves by 0.5% or eliminate the general fund by another $500,000. It's kind of puzzling to me that, you know, our gift could have taken care of almost two-thirds of what they would need.
Well, that's what happens. You've got your cell phones, and that's, you know, we kind of are an informational highway.
Yeah.
And
that was, I thought, was turned off, too. Oh, you know, now, this, the offer there, was this based on the moving the negotiations back another year to extend the contract?
Well, what we were looking for, because, you know, it's all part of being able to negotiate in good faith, and to be able to go in and say we're offering this amount of money as a salary savings, and all we're requesting is protection on a contract for a year versus someone saying that it's PERS or nothing. That doesn't sound like good faith negotiations. That sounds more to me like an ultimatum.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Lyra, you're on line one. Or Lyra?
Lyra.
Lyra, you're on line one.
Thank you. Hello, Jacob Provincio. You know me from our Sobering Choice connection, and I just wondered if you could speak to us a little bit this morning about how you feel we're doing as a community against drunk driving, if you would talk to that issue, and in any ways we can help RPD. I know we're going to vote absolutely to support you guys getting as many officers back and keeping as many officers as we can, but just please speak to us about, and thank you for all your hard work, first of all, but talk to us about drunk driving in Shasta County, please.
One of the things I'm really excited about is starting October 1st, I'm lucky enough to be working as part of a grant, and we'll have a DUI car once again. So I'll be solely dedicated to enforcing DUIs, educating, doing probation searches, but basically focusing on DUIs and all aspects of it. We do have a problem here in Shasta County. It's not just alcohol. You've probably heard very recently different news sources talking about the problems we're having with drugs, primarily prescription medication. One of the reasons why I'm excited about this, I'm one of the department's drug recognition experts, and that allows us to focus on drug DUIs. So it's not just alcohol that we're focusing on. It's those prescription drug DUIs.
Any type of impaired driving is what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Jacob, right?
Well, we had Sheriff Basenko on Friday, and he was talking about the alarming theft rate of home narcotics that are just might be in your medicine cabinet that might be a prescription and people stealing them. But that's interesting, though, because you're saying that you're trained in noticing if somebody's behaving in a certain way that's indicative of perhaps a certain kind of medicine or drug that they're taking.
Right. The program that we have, the Drug Recognition Expert Program, it's administered by the Highway Patrol, but it's a two-week program. So I go through I went through a class, and six of our officers, well, five now, one of them has left, but we go through a two-week program where we're trained in the different categories of drugs, how the body reacts to those drugs, how they can impair you, and then we do a field certification where we actually go out in the field with other instructors and put what we learned in the classroom to practice on the street under the guidance of an instructor.
Now, does this money come from a grant from where, the feds, the state, I mean, to do this? Or is this from within the community?
Are you talking about the DUI grant as far as...
Right.
Yes, that's a grant. It's comes through NHTSA, and then that money goes to the state, and from the Office of Traffic Safety, it's dispersed out to the departments. And basically, because of the problem we have here in Reading and in Shasta County, we qualified for that grant.
Now, did that, the time before, I know we had the DUI, we had the DUI car out, or the vehicle out, and our people out. Now, was that always grant money, or did that come from within?
Yeah, we had a previous grant. It was a two-year grant. I was lucky enough to do that for about 8 months towards the end of the grant. That was grant money.
Okay.
Kind of what they like to see is that they like to use that grant money kind of as seed money, get your DUI program up and running. And then what they ask is that the city or county or whoever gets that grant,
that's where
fund
I was,
that.
That's where I was
saying. And continue that.
Okay.
And so far, Reading has been unable to do that.
All right.
We were trying to get a two-year grant this time around, and we've got it for one year.
All right. Hey, we have to take a quick break here. Our guests are Brad LaCroix, president of the Reading Police Officers Association, and Jacob Provincio, who is a board member. Join us after these messages.
MD Imaging Radiologist.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 Carlin Linda Bot, 8:16 in the morning, September 20th. It's going to be a good day today. Our guests are Brad LaCroix, president of the Reading Police Officers Association, and board member Jacob Provincio. Okay, Brad, record searchlight, front page. Everybody's making, well, the average salary for a Reading employee is $118,000 a year. And it shows, not by name, except for the top ones. It's always nice to know who's making that much money, huh?
You didn't see my name on there.
No. No, because I think it stopped at $200,000. If you're making over $200,000, you need to tell me that, Brad. I'll, you know. Anyway, but it goes, and it talks about the salaries that everybody makes and their overtime. And you had, when I asked you about that, you said there's a number of things that affect that.
Yeah, that came up during a conversation with a lady this last week. We were talking about the salaries that they showed for some of the officers, investigators, what they were making. And I can see if you're looking at just a raw number that shows this is how much they made for the year, you can say, wow, that was truly a lot of money, especially when you look at how much overtime that was involved there. One of the things that they didn't realize was that overtime can come from a variety of different forms. As Jacob stated, there's grant money that's out there and it's available. Some of the grants that were out there were for DUI enforcement, methamphetamine enforcement. There was a grant to check on sexual offenders throughout Shasta County, which we've got more than our share of. And then there was the underage drinking, where they went and did basically checks at bars and establishments that sell alcohol. So that grant money is coming from a state and or federal level and is not a result of coming out of the general fund. Other forms of overtime are coming from, we sat down and discussed, every other year we have the Reading Air Show, so we have seven events that the City of Reading puts on. Officers that are investigators that are assigned to those events are making overtime because, generally speaking, the events are supposed to pay for that manpower coverage. More often than not, the city has picked up the tab on that. They call it, correct me if I'm wrong, a super fund where they're able to pay for the staffing levels. For example, Air Show is a very intense event as far as the coverage you need for the traffic control to be able to provide safety and security for the people who are attending the event.
Did I miss anything?
No.
What would you say the percentage is?
You know, I'm working on
30,
that.
40, 50, 60.
I wouldn't even try to put a number on that. I am working on it. Make those numbers available for an event next week.
Okay. Well, let us know, too, because that is part of it. Now, overtime doesn't count. Does overtime count for your compensation for retirement?
No. Overtime is not factored into that. It's your last highest year of your regular pay.
All right. The big thing seems to be when we talk to all the unions is paying their part of CalPERS. What's your opinion on that?
Well, we understand, speaking on behalf of the RPOA, we understand that there's a financial need that needs to be addressed with the city. We also understand that it's not the employee's fault. There's roughly 8 unions, associations in the city of Reading. We didn't create the economic crisis that we're in. We're not blaming city council. I don't recall any of the associations and or unions coming forward blaming council, as it's been portrayed that the employees are breaking the bank here in Reading. We understand there's a need that we need to address, and there's changes. You've seen in the paper where CHP has done a 3% at 55 sweeping change to the retirement for PERS system. We are willing to sit down. We've made offers. It's been clear to us that if the money is not coming in the form that they want, you know, to steal a line from the newspaper about 8 or 9 months ago, if I owe you $100 and I say, here's 520s, and you say, no, I want 250s, what's your priority? Is it to have the money, or is it the way you want it? So that's concerning us. But we've made offers. And I understand whether it's short-term or long-term, we have approached the city trying to make way, you know, to help do our part, you know, to work together. It's called good faith negotiations, and it's not done in public. It's not done from the council seat. It's done in a closed session where you can sit down and discuss the topics.
Okay, but how do you feel about paying the 9%? I mean, all the unions. If you pay 9, I think others pay 7.5. About paying that part of CalPERS?
Well, the police and fire would be 9%. The rest of the city employees are 7%.
Or 7%.
7%.
So how do you feel about that?
If that's something we need to do, if you're asking me from a personal perspective, it's something I need to do, then I understand it's my part. But I'm representing 100 members of an association, and I can't speak on behalf of 100 people right now without our processes that we need to go through.
Okay.
I think what's important is that, you know, we've not said we refuse to pay that. What we're asking is, let us be part of the process. Let us be part of the solution. Don't force us to go one route. We're the employees. We have ideas. We're willing to participate. Let us do that. That's all we're asking. Let us help.
Okay. And that's kind of where we were going to with
right.
this is, because something has to, well, do you agree that something's got to be done, though?
Well, something has to be done, like I said.
Something has to be done in this community, because we are getting hammered by the economy. So something has to be done to kind of get the control of our finances.
Absolutely. And no one has more of an interest in our community than the police officers. I mean, this is our home. This is where we live. This is where I intend to stay, where I want to raise my kids, where my friends, my family live. I want Reading to be successful. I want to, it's part of the reason why you get involved in the job. You want to help your community. And if that means making those adjustments, by all means, let us help you. Let us help the city do that. But involve us. Let us participate.
Okay, we've got to take a break.
After the break.
Okay.
I got a comment for that.
Well, go on. It's our show. Go on.
You know, we're talking about being, as Jacob's pointed, we want to be a part of the solution, be able to work together with the city and come to a reasonable agreement that benefits everyone involved here. And we understand that there's a lot of people out of work. There's a lot of people that have lost a lot in this economy. When you receive an association, when you receive a memo from the personnel/city manager's office with a side letter attached to it saying, go ahead and start paying your 9% PERS without any type of negotiation whatsoever, that doesn't sound like it's good faith to us. That's what I was going to say.
Okay. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Our guests are Brad LaCroix and Jacob Provincio from the Reading Police Officers Association. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 825. six. We got like 4 minutes left in this segment.
And our hotline here into the studio is 605-4567. That's 605-4567. Now's your chance if you want to give a call to talk to Officer LaCroix or Officer Provencio. Please do so. It's 62 degrees. It's going to be high today of 81. And our chat room is open.
The one of the things we talked about during the break was the two-tier system. What do you think? Think it's coming? Think it has to?
I definitely believe it's coming. When you have four agencies at the state level that all agree, my understanding is it needs to be finalized, but four of them at the state level have done it, and as you know, obviously the Deputy Sheriff's Association went to a two-tier system. I believe it's coming. It's just in the form of how do you want to get there? Is it something you want to impose, or is it something you can work out?
Well, I mean, I think everybody agrees. I think even every candidate we've had on here that's been running has said that there's got to be big changes in how we pay our union employees, not just the police, and you know, not just the police, firemen, first responders, but all unions. So does it just boil down to, when it gets down to it, is who you want to negotiate with, who you want to talk to?
I think part of it is just who is willing to negotiate with you, who's willing to talk to you. It's not necessarily who you want to negotiate with. It's who's willing to actually come to the table in good faith. You can't negotiate with one side of a table.
So you all have been, how long, see, you're going to negotiation this year, this coming year. You've been in negotiation, though, before on several things, haven't you? Doesn't negotiations kind of like go on all the time between the unions, or is it just the different unions and the city council?
Like I said, there's about eight.
Right.
And we're actually, I mean, not to split hairs here, but we're an association. Due to the fact we can't strike. We're not going to strike because we're out there.
That's
we
right.
Obviously, we have a service to provide. But our last contract, and if I'm not mistaken, was negotiated in 2003. It was a 5-year contract. And we're going to be up for renegotiations for March of 2011. Is when our contract expires. So I would guess that sometime December or January talks will begin.
Okay. Is there a new negotiator for the city now? Same one that was for the county? Have you heard that at all?
I believe the city has hired.
It's a contract
firm from outside the area.
Yeah, so they're, you know, and I understand that they're. They've done a number of these. This is what they do. They come in, they do the contract negotiations, and they leave. Or is this the same one that did it for the Shasta County, or is this a different group?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't know.
Okay.
They're representing the city, though, on two contracts right now.
Okay. Well, we've got, about a minute left here. I want to get back when we come back after our break, because we have a hard break here at 8:30. I want to talk to you about the candidates.
Okay.
We see a slate of candidates that the police association seems to be backing, and I want to talk to you about them. I want to talk to you about a couple other things that have to do with the safety of our community. With gangs. With we just saw two shootings today from people, and just your thoughts on this, and you know, maybe an unvarnished part about how you feel about some of these. All right.
Okay.
Later on this week, and I'm just trying to fill time here for 30 seconds. Tomorrow we're talking on a couple of with people on public safety again, on prisons and this in public safety. This isn't a public safety week. We're trying not to have that happen, though today it seemed like it. Hey, Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 8:35 in the morning, September 20th. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We have the Reading Police Officers Association on today, the president, Brad LaCroix, and a board member, Jacob Provencio.
While we're at break, you guys were, you know, it's always the funny stuff that happens at the break. We're talking about something you really wanted to bring up right away.
Yeah, the blood drive for an officer down in Oakland.
Yeah, it was August 27th. It was a Fremont Police Department officer, Todd Young.
He was shot, if I recall, 10 times trying to arrest a gang member. One of those wounds damaged an artery, and he lost a lot of blood. So locally, there's a blood drive. It's going on at Blood Source, and it's your chance to kind of support law enforcement. You can actually designate your donation for Todd's account. The last update that I heard is he was in serious but stable condition. He was heavily sedated. He's improving daily. Our thoughts and prayers go out to his family, and of course, we want him to be back on the street and doing what he loves to do.
You know, somebody else came through, and we made this announcement before too. It was that blood drive. Somebody else was pushing for it also. And that's going down. Where's it going at? Just the Blood Source?
Blood Source, and I believe they are having their mobile van out somewhere. If you want more information, we do have a flyer posted on the Reading Peace Officers website and on our Facebook page as well.
The times. To touch on that, on the mobile van, it's going to be at 2150 Churn Creek from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Today. And, of course, you can go to the Blood Source between 9 and 2 p.m.
Okay. Hey, thanks. And good luck to the officer. Going back to the elections, y'all advertised for candidates back, I think, in June.
That sounds about right.
And you now have three, Ken Murray, Spear, and Sullivan, that when you see all their names together, it's backed by the Police Officers Association.
Well, it's not just backed by RPOA. We have a joint political action coordinating committee. It's made up of the different groups at the city. It is Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Police Managers Association, the Reading Firefighters Association, IBEW, SEIU. It's all the groups that have got together. We interviewed candidates that were running that were willing to meet with us. We talked to them not just about association issues, but different things around the city, Oasis, a broad category of things. Took that information, we talked about it, and decided who we were going to endorse. You do see their names together on the sign. I think it's important to know they're not running as a group. They're not running as a slate. They're all running individual campaigns. We have chosen to endorse three candidates.
It appears they're running as a slate. When you see their names linked together like that with your signs out.
Well, we're putting their names on the signs that we're putting out. It makes more sense. We can print one sign and not three different signs. They're each running their individual campaigns and running on their own merits.
Did they say that they would support your side?
Not one of the candidates during our interviews have promised us anything other than they will negotiate with us. They've all talked to us about they believe things need to change, that if necessary, they will vote to cut our pay and benefits. We understand that. But the difference is they have told us and they've promised us that they will negotiate in good faith with us. And again, we've said this over and over. That's all we're asking. They've not made us any promises. They're not saying they're going to protect our pension. They're going to protect our salary. The opposite. They say they'll do what they need to do for the benefit of the city, which is what we want. And again, the difference is they have promises they'll negotiate in good faith, which we don't feel is what's going on with the current council majority.
So no promises, just the fact that they will negotiate.
Correct.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:43 in the morning. Phone line 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Right off Athens Avenue, DC Tim and a man in black. Give great haircuts, great prices. Man's last stronghold. Go in there, you won't find Oprah on the TV. You won't find Dr. Phil. It'll be car racing and UFC and football. Anyway, they're great guys. They support our community, and they give a discount to veterans. So, Cypress Square Barbershop.
Okay, our chat room is open. I'm going to throw this out to you guys. And our guests, if you're just tuning in, is Officer Provencio and Officer LaCroix. We are talking just about everything that's going on with negotiations and so on and so forth. But one of the questions here in the chat room is, Carl, earlier, citizen activist and Smile said it was, these are people that, of course, chat back and forth, said it was RPOA who brought this to the public. How did the fight get public?
Can you clarify what fight we brought?
I'm not sure, because sometimes that's all they write.
Okay.
I think maybe the fight to on the questions about, you know, what was going on in the negotiations, or the you offered up the cash, or the, you know, the 300. I'm not sure.
Well, if it's in fact that we are the ones that brought it to the public, if we're referring to being able to negotiate in good faith when you're presented offers and it gets turned down, I think it's important. You know, government's supposed to be transparent. People need to understand, you know, that we're offering up concessions worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
If it's transparent, then should the unions and associations have open negotiations where people can look at them?
I think there's kind of a distinction. There's contract negotiations which happen behind closed doors. When we make our offer, it's not a negotiation. It's not something we're required to do. We're not at the negotiating table.
It's a gift.
We came up with this idea as a gift to help the city. It's not part of a back and forth contract negotiation. We've not been approached to open negotiations.
This is just a general question. Do you think contract negotiations should be in the open since it's public money?
I think there's probably benefits to both sides. The bottom line is it's my money. It's my taxpayer. You know, I pay taxes. It's my money. It's your money. It's the taxpayer's money. And if they need to kind of see what's going back and forth and how the negotiations happen, personally, I don't have a problem with that. Now, there are certain laws and things in place, and there's a history of how things have been done. But as a taxpayer, yeah, I want to know where my money goes.
And that was, I think, the question that was coming through here on this was, you know, in the open. Let's go to the phones. Charles, you're on line 1, KCNR.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
Yeah, on the subject of good faith. Oh, my phone line's giving me problems again.
That's okay, Charles. Keep pushing forward.
Well, that's what happens when you use an old phone, a very old phone. But going back to the subject, you know, back when, and you and I were both at the same city council meeting when it was packed with you know, RPOA, RPMA members, and on the subject, as I recall, it was the 12-month delay, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go back and check.
It was.
But at any rate, here they were, you know, heckling anybody who, you know, whether it was council or speaker, who said something they didn't want to hear. And, you know, when you've got a room filled with that many people of one particular side, I mean, it sounds to me like there's, you know, that, you know, a bit of an intimidation tactic is being employed there, and that, you know, that does not comport at all with the idea of good faith. And then my second question would be the same question I posed to Ken Murray a few weeks ago, as we recall. It's the idea that, you know, if they're so altogether favorable to negotiations, why do they insist on a 12-month delay thereof, given that the same people will be on city council in March of 2012 as in March of 2011?
Okay, Charles.
All right, given that there's probably people waiting in line behind me,
there
I'll
is.
Take my answer on the air.
Thank you very much, Charles. First question is he thought that there was a lot of police at that meeting when they were discussing the $300,000. Of course. I mean, I understand that. But the second question is why push it off for a year when you're going to be talking to the same people on the council, no matter who it is?
Well, in regards to having the support of both police associations there, we felt strongly. I mean, we're supporting each other. We're a team. As far as pushing it off for a year, we're not looking at trying to delay the process. And who's to say that, you know, November 2nd election, there can be some big changes in the city of Reading. We may or may not necessarily be speaking to the same people.
But it's going to be this. If you push it off till March of 2012, which is what you're asking for, it's going to be the same people. Whoever gets elected, it's either March of 2011 or March 2012, right?
Right. I understand. But we don't know that. We're not going to know that until November 3rd when all the ballots are counted.
Right, but it doesn't make any difference. You're still going to be talking to the same group of people. Say if your candidates get elected that you want in, it's going to be them, whether it's 2011 or 2012. They're not changing.
Correct.
So what difference does it make?
Well, it's completely possible that with a change in the council, if they were to engage us to want to open up negotiations, we can entertain that. But there's a certain... Open it early, which we haven't been asked to do. Like I was telling you earlier, I think it was during the break, we see a letter saying, go ahead and sign this off, and we start paying 9%.
That's right. And what you were saying during the break was that you had received a letter from the city saying, hey, by the way, pay your 9%.
Sign
here and pay your 9%. And you said it was a complete surprise to you. Is that right?
Right. You weren't expecting it.
I think part of the issue as well is, you know, during open council meetings, the council majority has told us, we're waiting to get to your contract, and we're going to reduce your benefits, reduce your pay. That's what we're waiting for. Okay, and that's perhaps not how I would have said it. I would have said, you know, we want to start working together to benefit the city, not we're taking some stuff away from you. And so when we make this offer, this gift, what they wanted us to do is, yeah, we'll take your money, and then in a couple months, we're going to take more away from you. And as a family man with a family to support, it doesn't make sense for me to basically hand somebody my bank account and decide how much money I'm going to have left to pay my bills and pay my groceries. When you're saying, yeah, give us some money now, and then we're going to take some away from you in a couple of months, I mean, I don't think anybody would be happy about that.
No, but that's what so many people have faced here in the last 2 years, is that, you know, and unfortunately, that's just the way life is right now, unfortunately. I understand the point about, hey, we're going to take it right now without letting you plan for it. That's wrong. I mean, because they can do that. They can, but if it's something that, again, I go back, and you all appreciate this. Our city's in trouble. So the big thing is, I think the bottom line is that, yes, there's got to be changes. We want to help, but we want to be able to have somebody that will deal with us, that will negotiate.
Exactly.
And negotiate on a level playing field.
And here
is that the bottom line?
Yeah, absolutely. We want to be a part of the process. Let us help you figure this out.
Here we are with about 7 minutes left in the program, and we've got calls coming in. Let's go to Elizabeth real fast on line one. And Elizabeth.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great.
We got like a minute, Elizabeth, so
not
give us your
problem.
Update.
Just kind of let you know what's going on at the Reading Tea Party meeting tonight. At the Baptist Fellowship on South Bonneview, we have Rob Burrows, who's the director of the Northern California Veterans Museum.
Go, Rob.
Yep, he's going to come and give us an update and kind of spend some time with our veterans. And then afterward, we go into all of our breakout groups.
Uh-huh.
So there's something for everybody. So I really encourage people to come out. The meeting starts at 6 o'clock every Monday night.
Okay, Elizabeth.
Yeah. All right.
You've got some other things planned here, I know, in the next few weeks. But
yeah, we do. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, and I need to talk to you also, Elizabeth. So
you got it.
Okay. All right.
Talk to you later.
Let's go to line two. Linda. Linda, you're on line two, KCNR.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that these union people have to, of course, be given notice, but they have to make concessions. John Q. Public out here is doing everything they can to survive, just keep afloat. And people are losing their homes. They have to understand what dire conditions exist in the public. So they just have to understand that it's hard, but they have to suffer some of the consequences. The city's revenues just are not there. So these are drastic times, and desperate times require desperate measures. So they have to understand they will not be able to have the salary that they've had in the past. Sure, give them time to plan for it, but I'm repeating myself. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay, thanks, Linda. Your comment, man.
You know, as a board member, our association has votes on different things, you know, related to concessions or other board issues or association issues. The only time that I can recall that we ever had a unanimous vote was to offer a concession to the city. The other issues we've talked about, it's been split, but when it came to, hey, let's give some more money to the city to help out, it was unanimous. And I think that speaks volumes.
Okay. We've missed a break here. We have to hop in real quick, and then we'll come back and get last thoughts. Carl Lindebott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me.
Welcome back
up
to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl Lindebott, this is our last segment. We've got like 4 minutes. Brad LaCroix and Jacob Provincio from the Reading Police Officers Association. The last comment from the lady was, we're in bad shape. Everybody has to pay. Your comments.
Well, I agree with her. And like we stated earlier, we have made offers to the city. One example is when we made a written offer, the response was basically we're not interested, but we're willing to talk about paying your PERS. If we're willing to give up money, we don't understand if it's coming out of, as Ken Murray said, your left pocket versus your right pocket. The point is we have made offers just to be turned down.
Okay. It's for the phones. Bob, you're our last caller.
Good morning. Hey, I have a lot of respect for the police and the fire department. They're very necessary, and they're very key individuals in our community. But I think it's really easy for the city council to sometimes make certain decisions, and for the police and fire to throw eggs back at the city council. I think probably one of the best ways to do this is to bring this before the people and let the people vote on it, and then they'll hear a sound voice of the community and find out exactly where everybody stands.
Okay, you're talking about the initiatives then on the November ballot. Is that correct?
Well, the initiatives, and then also the reduction in pay, because, like you said, everybody's tightening their belt, and if they really want to feel the pulse of the community and not just throw issues back and forth between the city council and the union, the people will stand up and say, hey, everybody needs to be in the same boat.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for your phone call.
Thanks.
Comments?
Well, in regards to the ballot initiatives, I guess we will find out on the second when everybody gets to cast their opinion on those two measures that have been brought forward by the city council, which I'm sure you've already beat it into the ground. They're advisory.
Yeah, they don't mean anything.
Correct. It's basically just to give council direction, which they could do that in negotiations.
Yeah, but we've seen this with the city council and the last city council. Every time there's a tough question,
right?
They throw it out to a... you know what? Not every tough question. You know, that's an exaggeration, but they have things like on the REU and such. Okay. Last statements here. It's your turn.
You know, as being part of the association, I understand that we are in dire straits. The city's had to eliminate by the end of this year, just the police department alone will be reduced by almost 25% of their overall staffing. The association, we pride ourselves, we are involved in the community. We're your neighbors, your coaches, your Sunday school teachers, and we want to be part of the solution. We're just asking that city council, the council majority, want to sit down and discuss it in a very cordial fashion, that we can come to an agreement that benefits the community, the city, and all the parties involved.
Okay. Jacob?
You know, I've said this before, and like Brad said, it just let us be part of the solution. We understand the issues. We're not hard-headed as some have portrayed us. We want to help. We want to take part in this process, and that's all we ask. Let us do that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for being on today. And you know what? We're going to have you on again before this is over, because this is when it gets down to it, when it gets down to the unions, you all are like the spear point. You are at the tip of the spear, because it's That's the main focus with people. I mean, do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the fact is, when you look out there and you see the slate of candidates, it's got your name on it. So that's right. A big thing, too. In fact, Francie's going to be on here next week. And Patrick Jones will also be on. And we work through it a few more times before we get to the election. We also would love to have on Friday at the Back Room Brew, love to have like an open discussion. And we do, we YouTube it, and we put it on through the Internet, too.
Good.
So, okay.
Thank you so much for being
on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.